Picture two people receiving identical rejection letters from their dream job. The first person thinks, I'm just not talented enough. I'll never get a good job. The second thinks, they're loss. My skills weren't the right fit for this particular position, but they'll be perfect somewhere else. Same situation, radically different interpretations, and consequently, entirely different emotional responses and future actions. This difference in explanatory style, how we habitually explain the causes of events, lies at the heart of Martin Seligman's groundbreaking work on learned optimism. Through decades of research, Seligman discovered that optimism isn't just a sunny disposition. It's a learnable skill that dramatically impacts our resilience, achievement, and even physical health. His journey began with an accidental discovery. Dogs exposed to inescapable shocks later failed to escape when they could, having learned helplessness. Surprisingly, about two-thirds of humans showed the same pattern when exposed to uncontrollable noise, while others remained resilient. Why? The answer lies not in what happens to us, but in how we explain these events to ourselves. Our explanatory style operates along three crucial dimensions that determine how setbacks affect us. First is permanence, whether we see bad events as temporary, I'm tired today, or permanent, I'm always exhausted. Optimists view setbacks as temporary while seeing positive events as enduring traits. The second dimension is pervasiveness. Do we universalize failures, I'm terrible at relationships, or keep them specific, that particular relationship didn't work out? Optimists do the opposite with successes, seeing them as reflections of broader qualities. The third dimension is personalization, whether we blame ourselves or circumstances when things go wrong. Excessive self-blame erodes self-esteem, while appropriate externalization preserves our sense of worth during difficulties. Depression represents extreme pessimism. Learned helplessness spiraled out of control. It affects thought, pessimistic explanations, mood, sadness, anxiety, behavior, passivity, indecision, and physical responses, sleep disturbances, reduced appetite. Depression rates have increased dramatically over the past century, with people born in the mid-20th century 10 times more likely to suffer from it than earlier generations. Modern depression also strikes at younger ages, rooted in the belief that our actions are futile. Consider your last disappointment. Did you explain it as permanent or temporary? Universal or specific? Personal or external? Your pattern across these dimensions forms your explanatory style, a mental habit that shapes life outcomes but can be changed like any habit. Cognitive therapy's breakthrough insight is that depression stems from conscious negative thoughts, not unconscious conflicts or brain chemistry. The negative thinking isn't merely a symptom, it's the disease itself. Cognitive therapy teaches five key tactics. 1. Recognizing automatic negative thoughts during low moments. 2. Disputing these thoughts with contrary evidence. 3. Creating alternative explanations that are less permanent and pervasive. 4. Distracting yourself from depressing rumination. 5. Identifying and questioning depression-feeding assumptions. Unlike medication, cognitive therapy provides lasting skills for handling failure. Research shows both approaches relieve depression, but cognitive therapy prevents relapse by changing explanatory style. If overlooked for a promotion, your automatic thought might be, I'll never advance in my career. Cognitive therapy would help you challenge this by examining past successes, considering alternatives like budget constraints, and reframing the setback as temporary and specific rather than permanent and pervasive. Optimism isn't just about feeling better, it's about achieving more. Across multiple domains, optimistic explanatory style predicts success beyond raw talent alone. In insurance sales, optimistic agents sold 37% more than pessimistic ones, with the most optimistic tenth selling 88% more than the most pessimistic tenth. Metropolitan Life's experiment with optimistic agents who had failed traditional aptitude tests showed them outperforming regular agents by 27%, demonstrating how optimism produces valuable persistence amid rejection. In education, adequately talented optimists often outperform talented pessimists. College studies showed optimistic freshmen consistently exceeded their predicted grades, while pessimists underperformed. In sports, optimistic teams excel under pressure. The 1985 New York Mets exemplified this by attributing failures to temporary, specific causes, leading to improved batting performance under pressure the following year. The key advantage? Optimists persist through obstacles because they don't see failure as permanent or pervasive. This persistence, not magical thinking, creates their competitive edge. Optimism significantly impacts physical health. Optimists maintain immune systems up to 40% stronger than pessimists under similar stress, follow medical advice more consistently, and are twice as likely to quit smoking successfully. Optimists experience fewer negative events by taking preventative action, maintaining cars, homes, and relationships proactively. They also build stronger social support networks that buffer against illness. Studies show pessimists suffer twice as many infectious illnesses and make 50% more doctor visits than optimists. Among cancer patients, those with optimistic explanatory styles demonstrate longer survival rates. A Harvard longitudinal study revealed that optimism at age 25 predicted health at 60 better than cholesterol, blood pressure, or family history. Optimistic subjects developed fewer chronic conditions and lived 7.5 years longer. This isn't about denying reality. It's about recognizing how our interpretations of events trigger physiological responses that either enhance or undermine health. The solution isn't blind optimism, but flexible optimism, learning optimistic thinking techniques and applying them selectively. Optimism serves best for achievement, morale, health challenges, and leadership, while pessimism's realism helps when failure costs are high. The ABCD model transforms pessimistic thinking. Adversity, the triggering event. Beliefs, your automatic interpretations. Consequences, the resulting feelings and actions. Disputation, challenging pessimistic beliefs with evidence, alternatives, and usefulness. Energization, the positive feelings from successful disputation. Unlike dieting's constant vigilance, learned optimism becomes self-sustaining as the brain forms new neural pathways, making optimistic thinking increasingly natural. These tools offer a practical path to resilience in our era of widespread helplessness and depression, allowing us to transform our thinking and create a reality shaped by how we choose to explain events. The principles of learned optimism show effectiveness across various settings. In schools, the Penn Resiliency Program teaches children to challenge negative thoughts, reducing depression while improving academic performance and social relationships. In business, optimistic company cultures demonstrate higher productivity, lower turnover, and greater innovation. Leaders who model optimistic explanatory styles inspire resilience by framing setbacks as opportunities for growth. The U.S. Army's Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program builds psychological resilience through these techniques, resulting in lower PTSD rates and better adjustment after combat. Soldiers learn to recognize catastrophic thinking and develop balanced assessments of challenges. These applications promote grounded optimism that acknowledges difficulties while maintaining belief in one's capacity to overcome them, creating lasting changes in thinking patterns rather than temporary mood improvements.